Primary Reaction Chamber.
Per culpa remandos on or.
Time.
Initial reaction at T-minus 30.
Steel slug in place.
Stand by for injection.
Capsule breach now.
Reaction commencing.
Containment field hold to 3.14 degrees of time. Inertial dampers flushing to capacity.
Can we hold it?
What's happening?
Critical mass.
Hold on.
Mind spike.
You're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. I'm your host, Winston Crutchfield. We've got a great interview for you today with author and podcaster Derek Gilbert, author of The God Conspiracy. So without really delaying any at all, we're going to jump right into that. One quick bit of business. Critical Press Media is still accepting submissions for the benefit book for Living Water International. So if you have a story, a travelogue, or an article that you would like to contribute to this fundraising effort, check out the submission guidelines online at under the submissions info tab at criticalpressmedia.com. So we're going to hear from John Wilkerson, tell us a little bit about what he's doing to podcast for water, and then we're going to jump right into the interview. So hang around.
Water. We drink it. We bathe in it. We wash our clothes in it. We need it to grow crops. We take it for granted, yet for 1.1 billion people in the world, clean water is a luxury. Unclean water threatens the lives of billions of people every day, but most of us listening to this don't know what life without clean water would be like. Something as simple as a public water fountain is an oddity to many people. We buy clean water in a bottle for $1, and that same dollar could give a person clean water for an entire year. I'm John Wilkerson, host of the Jesus Geek Podcast. Will you join me in raising funds to provide clean water to people who desperately need it? Please visit water.jesusgeek.info for more information on how you can change someone's life with just $1 a day. That's water.jesusgeek.info. Give water and give life.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are now controlling the transmission. We control the horizontal and the vertical. We can deluge you with 1,000 channels or expand one single image to crystal clarity and beyond. We can shape your vision to anything our imagination can conceive. We will control all that you see and hear.
I am honored and pleased to share some microphone time with Derek Gilbert of PID Radio and author of the new book, The God Conspiracy. How are you this evening, Derek?
Winston, it's a pleasure. Doing well.
Fantastic. Now, I got to review your book a little while back, shortly after it came out, and it is a hefty tome. I mean, we're talking 400 plus pages worth of action conspiracy thriller going on here. So it's there's a lot to go through, and for all that, I kind of blew through it in about a week. I feel kind of guilty about that. I feel like a book that, you know, that weighty and that thick, I ought to have spent some more time with.
that's fine. That hopefully means I achieved my purpose, which is to make it readable, even though there's a lot there. I didn't intend for it to be that long. It just sort of happened.
Well, you know, you did good. It's a fast read, and it's not just the action stuff coming at you a thrill a minute. You've also got this packed with great characters, many of whom I swear live right next door to me. But, you know, it's one of those things. So I guess the first thing I want to say, if you haven't gotten to read The God Conspiracy yet, it's a great action thriller. And so go out and get it, and I'll put some links to help you do that. Now, the premise of the book is kind of unusual. Your advertisement starts off with one email, five lines, thousands dead. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean that's just where it goes from there. You want to tell us a little bit about where that comes from and what's happening here?
The idea, and I confess here and for all the world that all of the good ideas I have are actually inspired by or suggested by my wife. So I give Sharon credit for this. Just as she came up with the wonderful opening line to Iron Dragons, she suggested something about this. What if an email sent to a boy in Iowa, you know, this 10-year-old boy in Iowa gets an email from God, and that triggers something horrible? Like, oh, okay, well, let's go with that and see what happens. And so I just started with that, and, the boy forwards the email to some friends. He thinks it's a gag, you know, junk mail, spam.
You know, I get emails from God two or three times a day. Most of the time he wants to sell me Cialis.
Yeah. And he assumes it's something like that, uses a webmail program and forwards it to some friends of his just to see which of them at school will confess to this mysterious email, which essentially says, the time is near, you are one of the chosen, tell no one, God. And not only do none of the three friends that he sends the email to respond, within the span of 48 hours, all three of his friends' families are shattered by horrific violence and bloodshed.
And I'll tell you what takes this out of the creepy little weird happenstance is that you're not talking about an isolated incident. I mean, you micro focus on the boy, but when this starts going off all over the country,
right? You pull back and essentially then see through another of the protagonists, an FBI agent who is nearly killed when a grocery store explodes, which people who know me well will recognize the location. They'll recognize it, I think, down to the brick, I think. But anyway, it's clear that this is not an isolated incident. Thousands of people across the country killed in dozens of terror attacks. It appears as though it's coordinated, but once the investigation begins, it's found that the only thread that links all of these attacks together is that there is no thread linking the perpetrators, the people who are supposed to have done these things. So then what is it? What happens? Well, this FBI agent pulls at a single thread, winds up in Iowa, in the same town as the boy who got the email, figures out that it's the email or an email that triggered these things. In the process of unraveling it, comes across a special forces A team that's been sent out to kind of clean up the mess that
right,
was created by the email, and that it's traced back to a rather mysterious individual who's operating from a bunker in southeastern Pennsylvania called Site R, which is a real place. It's where Vice President Dick Cheney went after 9/11. It is essentially the communications nexus for the United States government on the East Coast. If Washington, D.C. were nuked, the communications to American military forces in the field would shift to Site R with barely a hiccup, or at least that's the plan. Well, I thought, if somebody were to run a shadow government from one of our facilities, which one would it be?
Well, Derek, before you get too much in depth on the plot there, let me stop you, or I'm going to have to sick the author on you.
That's right. You don't want to give too much away.
Now the premise that your FBI agent is investigating is that you've got fundamentalist right-wing conservatives who are perpetrating all of these horrible acts of mass destruction in an effort to jumpstart the apocalypse, I think is is the exact phrase.
Right.
Now, this is where the conspiracy theorist, or rather the thriller, the thriller writer in me says, no, really, come on. That's not how you jumpstart the apocalypse. Where does that come from?
It actually comes from an FBI document that was released during the Clinton administration called Project Megiddo. The FBI was concerned about 10 years ago that fundamentalist Christians would literally try to jumpstart the apocalypse leading up to the millennium by engaging in acts of violence to destroy or weaken the United States government. As ridiculous as it sounds, this is a real document, and you can still find PDF copies of it online. I have one in my handheld right in front of me here, which I referred to a couple of times during the writing of the novel. And because it's been about 10 years since the document was released, the Department of Homeland Security very obligingly issued another document earlier this year, which I'm sure you heard about. It caused quite a flap in the conservative media that suggested that conservatives, veterans returning home from Iraq and Afghanistan, patriots, tax protesters, may be a threat to national security. So this is not something that's that far-fetched. It sounds like conspiracy theory only to people who haven't been paying attention.
And I guess that's what really made this book as quite as intense and quite as frightening for me as it was, because this is not an isolated incident. I mean, you don't just take this one incident and run with it. Throughout the course of this book, you hammer home observation after observation that is drawn from the popular media. I mean, every one of these incidents that you bring to light and that you use and extrapolate on are things that are going on right now. And you're right. It sounds ludicrous to you and me, I guess, because we're familiar with Christian doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, to someone out there, it doesn't sound ludicrous, and I guess it could be scary. What are some of the other hidden agendas? I mean, that you'd really like to bring to light with this book? You mentioned the shadow government. Is that a figment of your imagination? Do we have anything? Do we have anything to go on there?
Well, to be honest with you, let me put it this way: the underlying theology of this book, if you will, is Ephesians 6:12, that we're not wrestling against a flesh and blood enemy. We're wrestling against powers and principalities and rulers of the spiritual darkness of this world. And by powers and principalities, the Apostle Paul, if you really study what he wrote, wasn't talking about physical, temporal rulers. He wasn't talking about presidents and vice presidents and governors and aldermen and kings. He was talking about spiritual entities, fallen angels who literally walk the planet and seek to do us harm. That is the underlying premise of the book. And in fact, there's a conversation that takes place between the FBI agent and a character that my wife Sharon generously allowed me to borrow from her book, her novel, The Armageddon Strain, an internet conspiracy radio host who kind of lays it out for the FBI agent and says, look, who do you think is really behind all of this? The Freemasons, the Bilderberg Group, the Jesuits, they're fools. They're useful idiots. The real power are these powers and principalities. And of course, the FBI agent, you get to the end of the book, he hasn't quite bought into that theology yet, because I know it's a lot for anyone to swallow. I thought it would have been too much to ask the reader to accept that this FBI agent, on the basis of the story as he goes through it, is going to suddenly accept the idea that there are literally fallen angels who are controlling everything. It'll probably take another couple of novels for FBI agent Joe Yunus comes to that point. But
I suppose he's got time.
That's the underlying theology. So if there is a shadow government, and the one that I created was essentially a figment of my imagination, it's not under the control of human agents. There are humans involved, and while they may think that they're the ones pulling the strings, they in fact are simply vessels who are facilitating the powers and principalities in furthering their agenda, which is a one-world government, as prophesied in the Bible.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to get you know, toward my own clumsy manner, I guess, that beyond just being an action thriller or a conspiracy, you know, theory, because let's face it, distrust of the government is a popular thing in media, you know, in the media today. And I don't know if that's if they're steering our culture that direction or reflecting it. Probably a little bit of both. But what kind of sets the God conspiracy apart for me is that it's not just another, you know, the government's really out to get you conspiracy kind of thing. There is a lot more going on beneath the surface of the government than we are ever privy to. Mm-hmm. And all of these things that happen, from the flu shots that are used to inject, were they control devices or?
Yeah, it's a.
I mean that because that you drop that one a little later on in the book.
And again, that's something else that was borrowed from the Armageddon strain, which Sharon developed. Sharon is has a degree in molecular biology, and so she understands the science a lot better than I do. And so she was able to create this device, which has enough science behind it that it's plausible. Essentially, it's a nanotechnology that is part of this vaccine, which can be triggered by an RF, by a radio frequency command. So in other words, sort of a nano-sized RFID chip that triggers a virus specifically tailored to the DNA of the host, so that there is no way the host's immune system can respond. That is the bio-strain chip that is in the God conspiracy, and again borrowed from the
right.
Armageddon strain.
I mean, once more, shades of biotech warfare that we've got going on around us right now. And for those who are worried that we've, you know, dropped the bomb on one of the big revelations, that's not one of them. That's one of the weapons that Derek scares you with.
Mm-hmm. It's it's another red herring along the way. It doesn't actually play a major part in the plot. Again, it's just another way to tie it into the fictional universe that that Sharon eventually sketched out, and I just wrote this novel, kind of set it in the same. The same fictional universe. You know, the president's name is the same. Some of the names of the villains are the same, you know, the characters are the same. And of course, she allowed me to borrow the wonderful character of Barney Eisen, the internet radio host, who will soon be posting audio to the website laodiceachronicles.com, a voice that you'll probably recognize once we start getting the audio up there, Winston. But essentially creating an alternate reality sort of website based on this Laodicea Chronicles series that includes Sharon's three novels plus the God Conspiracy. But again, nothing in the God Conspiracy, like the Biostrain ship, is that far removed from where our technology is right now. And the purpose, controlling the populace, is something that is very much in the news, where people are concerned about the H1N1 strain that's going around right now. Now, Armageddon strain and the Biostrain chip were based on H5N1, the avian flu, but the principle is the same. It's an engineered virus, some claim, that is either a real threat to our health or is being used to threaten us into compliance. And the government is drawing up plans to forcibly quarantine people who display symptoms, to vaccinate people and children against their will if there is an outbreak. And, of course, that makes an appearance in the God Conspiracy as well, where people are rounded up for being suspected of terrorist activities or conspiring with terrorists or what have you. And while they're incarcerated, well, by the way, we'll just take this opportunity to inject them with this special little vaccine that we've whipped up just for this purpose.
Have no rights.
Yeah, so... nothing in the plot, as fantastic as it might seem to those who aren't paying attention, it really all that far removed from things we're reading about in the news right now. False flag terror attack, yeah, that's plausible. Whether you believe 9/11 was plotted by George W. Bush or not, you know, the fact is that false flag terror is not something that's unknown within our generation. I mean, the National Security Agency had to admit – about 2 years ago, they had to admit that the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which was used by President Johnson to justify fully committing to the war in Vietnam, never happened. Never happened. I mean, the second day where they reportedly were attacked by North Vietnamese torpedo boats, that incident never happened. The NSA knowingly falsified the intel before they gave it to President Johnson so that he would then commit to the war in Vietnam. And we know how well that turned out for all parties involved. So it's not unheard of for this sort of thing to happen. And yet, sadly, a lot of people, Christians especially, and that's who I really, really would like to see get their hands on this book, and the entire series, the Laodicea Chronicles series, get their hands on this book. Because while evangelical Christians and Bible-believing Christians tend to be among our most patriotic citizens, sometimes they let that patriotism blind them to the fact that, Scripture tells us that the government is the enemy's domain. Even if you don't buy into, again, the work of Dr. Mike Heiser and the Divine Council Group and the thesis that there are 70 or more fallen angels who are literally in control of the earth until Christ's return, even if you set that aside and don't buy that, you look to the New Testament and the encounter between Satan and Jesus in the desert, where Satan said, if you will just bow down to me, just bend your knee to me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. I mean, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in an instant, said, here, they're yours if you just worship me. And Jesus did not rebuke him for overstepping his authority. Instead, Jesus said, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God. And later, Jesus went on to call Satan the prince of this world, the god of this world. Paul called him the god of this world. Why? Well, Satan is, temporarily the angel in charge until Christ returns. Now, he's limited in what he can do, of course, by God Almighty. But, God reserved one people group, one nation, as his own. And he placed the rest of the earth under the control of Lucifer. And that's why I believe he was able to make that offer to Jesus in the desert. And yet, well-meaning Christians still have this belief that if we just elect the right candidate to the White House and appoint the right justices to the Supreme Court, we can restore this nation to its Christian roots and its Christian heritage and become a shining beacon of light, for the rest of the world again. Well, I'm sorry, when you just look at history, and I don't know that we can say with honesty that this ever was a truly Christian nation. I mean, this is the nation that injected unwitting subjects with plutonium in the interest of national security. There are things that have happened in this nation's past. And again, setting aside whether or not, say, the Freemasons or Rosicrucians or whoever played a role in setting up the country as a new Atlantis, just setting that aside, just looking at the actions of this government over the last 100 years, I don't see that you can call it a truly Christian nation. And again, I think that's a scriptural. There's a scriptural basis for believing that.
Well, we don't need a secret society to raise a red flag when a government like we've got now is coming out with more blatant and more sweeping power grabs.
Right.
And just the current foo-for-all over nationalized health care is just one of them. I mean, in a bill that has large sweeping chunks of it left essentially to be determined after passed.
Right, right.
That's frightening. Now,
and again, the Obama administration has been very gracious in really pushing hard to enact some of these things and grab even more power. I was going to say something tongue-in-cheek there, but I think it's a little too serious a topic to do that. When I wrote the book, it was during the Bush administration, and a lot of the concerns I had about the power of the federal government were directly related to things that were happening under George W. Bush. But the Obama administration has very graciously taken it even a step farther, which makes it look as though I predicted these things. It's like, well, okay. I'm not happy that they're happening, but it's just what we saw coming down the pike as we were researching things for the series of novels.
Right. Well, Joel Rosenberg was accused of the same thing with his his series of novels detailing the events in Iraq recently. And so you're not alone. Now let's not be entirely doom and
right.
doom and gloom and the world is going in to end, because in addition to to these things about the Satan being the prince of this world, we're also plainly told that God directs the hearts of kings as he does rivers.
Right.
So that, and we are also told that kings and nations are established by God for specific purposes.
Exactly, and that those who have power are put into power for God's purposes too. So it's not to say that God has completely gone hands off and just letting the devil run the planet. The fact is the Holy Spirit still works in our lives and in the lives of many in this world. It's when that spirit is removed, which will happen at some point. I believe it will happen when the rapture takes place. I know not everyone subscribes to that view, but regardless, when the Holy Spirit is removed and Christians are called out of here and all that's left are the unregenerate, you will have a literal hell on earth.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and again, I didn't mean to take it into a left behind kind of theology, because that's not where this series of books is going.
That's really not. And we kind of strayed from the task.
Let me make very clear that end times theology and the timeline of the apocalypse is not a subject that I consider myself an expert on. Sharon is more studied in that, but again, neither one of us wants to speculate as to what's going to happen after that point where Christ returns or calls us home. However the timeline happens, we don't want to go there and speculate on that, because number one, there's an awful lot of divisiveness in the body of Christ about how that's all going to play out. We're not interested in getting involved in that debate. Secondly, we don't want to speculate and be wrong simply because we don't want to take the Word of God, add one word to it or take one word away from it, even though we're writing fiction. I mean, if you're writing fiction, I don't see how you can separate that from your worldview. You can't pull your worldview out of it. You may have characters in there who don't share your worldview. That's fine, because that's the way the world is. That's the way the world is. I mean, most of the people.
One of the purposes of fiction in general, and I really believe of this book in particular, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the purposes is to cause the reader not to just say, well, that was a great evening's entertainment, but to cause the reader to look at the world around them with a different perspective, mm-hmm. To reevaluate the things that they're absolutely sure of, in a new light. And I think the God conspiracy and in addition to being just a fantastic action thriller,
thank you,
really accomplishes this, that particular, that task in a way that few other books do. In fact, I don't know if you consider this praise or not, but the last time I reevaluated my view of the world quite this extensively was the first time I read Stranger in a Strange Land.
Well, that's pretty lofty company, and I appreciate that. Thank you. But that is exactly why Sharon and I write the kind of fiction that we do. We saw that the world is being impacted by the likes of Dan Brown and the bad theology, the bad history that he's putting into his novels. The Da Vinci Code especially, but even Angels and Demons to an extent, were based on just simply bad history. And yet they were being reviewed in major newspapers as, extensively researched and historically accurate. No! No, they weren't! Da Vinci Code is based on the premise that Emperor Constantine, essentially established Christian doctrine at the Council of Nicaea. Never happened. It didn't happen. But most people don't know enough doctrine or enough history to know that. And so we thought, if he can do it, maybe we can make some small effort to try to come at this from the other side and write good stories that are based on, we pray, sound doctrine, sound Christian foundation, and hopefully get people to think about the world around them as you say you've done. And again, I appreciate that. Because if we can do that, then we've achieved our goal. And frankly, well, that's exactly what Dan Brown says he's doing. He's not writing stories as much as he is trying to push a theology through fiction. I mean, he has essentially said that, and I don't think it's any surprise.
He has made that very plain.
Yeah, when you look at the thrust of his novels, very critical, very unflattering to the Roman Catholic Church, to Christianity in general, and according to what I've read so far, I've not had a chance to pick up a copy of the book yet, but according to what I've read so far from Freemasons, very, you know, portrays the Freemasons in a very positive light. So, you know, Gnosticism is what he's pushing, and we're trying to push back from the other side.
Well, to be perfectly fair, Dan Brown is not alone. Recent movies and the National Treasure series is the one that that comes immediately to mind, because they're great movies, they're great family movies, they're great action movies, but the history that they're based on is just cut from whole cloth.
yep. And, you know, and I was reading another book recently by a fellow whose name is escaping me now, Barry, I think is last, Steve Barry, B-E-R-R-Y, called The Templar Legacy, which is in that same genre. Dan Brown seems to have created a genre now of Gnostic fiction where, you know, the big reveal is that Jesus didn't die and fathered children or whatever, that, you know, there's some secret that Christianity's been trying to hide for years. You know, people die because the church and Christians are trying to protect this secret from coming to light. So it's become kind of an industry now. It's, the book was well written, but I got about 350 pages in. I finally had to set it down because, again, it's just bad history.
You know what's actually happening here? They're just trying to keep us all from realizing that the Matrix has us. Well, Derek, I sure appreciate you taking some time out of your evening for me. Again, this is Derek Gilbert, author of the God Conspiracy, and co-host with his wife Sharon of PID Radio. And I'm going to put a whole host of links to their stuff in the show notes. But the main one, you can find pretty much everything that they've got going on at PIDradio.com. Derek, do you have any final remarks you really want to leave us with?
I appreciate the time to talk with you, and you know me, anytime I get onto a topic that I feel passionate about like this, I can go on all night. Sadly, not usually focused as well as I would like, but hopefully, again, if the listener takes nothing else away from this, it's just don't take what we say is gospel, take the gospel as gospel, and then compare everything against that.
Had a great time talking to Derek Gilbert from PIDradio.com. Head over to their website and buy a copy of their latest book, The God Conspiracy, or Iron Dragons, or The Armageddon Strain, one of the books by Sharon or Derek Gilbert. Also, you may listen to those in audiobook format through patiobooks.com. Again, the website is PIDradio.com.
Email at MindSpike@criticalpressmedia.com.
Podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.